States Court of Appeals and in for the Seventh Judicial Circuit. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having business before this honorable court are admonished to draw near and give their attention, as the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The first case today is Gomez v. Ashcroft. Counsel.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning, Counsel.
May it please the Court, my name is Carlina Tapia-Rano. I am the attorney for the appellant Rosalma Gomez and her minor daughter, Lisette Gomez. The purpose of this hearing today, or the purpose of this argument, is in order to establish that the appellant, Ms. Gomez, as the adult applicant here, is in fact entitled to be qualified as a refugee and entitled to be granted her application for asylum. We are arguing that Ms. Gomez has in fact established that she qualifies as an asylee because she has established that she has suffered past persecution. Now, Ms. Gomez suffered past persecution in Colombia as a government school teacher. Although there is no statutory definition of persecution, many cases in this court in the past have come to define that as the infliction of harm for political, religious, or other illegitimate reasons. Now, the government has correctly argued in their arguments that persecution must be more than mere harassment. We argue that it is hard to imagine a threat to someone's life as being defined as mere harassment. And Mrs. Gomez was twice threatened with the loss of her life, and there was an additional threat, one of the three, where she was threatened with physical harm. The immigration judge in the court below denied Ms. Gomez's application, claiming she had not established past persecution, although all of her testimony was considered credible. However, the judge concluded that the facts had established that Ms. Gomez lived in a situation and worked at a school that was rife with internal chaos and disorder.
But just before he says that, he really gives two grounds. He first concludes that the incidents that she described don't, as we say, rise to the level of past persecution. And then in the alternative, he's used the word or, that her fears of future persecution are based on any statutorily enumerated ground. And it does seem to be extremely vague. Now you're arguing, you know, it's public school teacher, but public employee or school teacher, there's a real lack of specificity in this record about what kind of social group, and I guess that's what this is, a social group case.
Well, I would argue, Your Honor, that what we have here is a case of someone who is entitled to the definition of an asylee of a refugee on the grounds of both political opinion, and that is support for the government policies within the school, and also as a public school teacher that supported the government policy.
But what's the political opinion? Most of the political opinion cases that we see involve somebody who is, you know, let's say strongly affiliated with a political party that opposes the government, and you can see that maybe they've got a leadership position in that party, they've been singled out. I understood the immigration judge to be seeing this as a failure of proof case. She just didn't show that her political opinion was linked to whatever abusive behavior she was subjected to.
I do remember that the judge stated that in his decision, and I would agree with the judge that although Ms. Gomez's testimony was considered completely credible, it was at times, many times, very difficult to follow, and that created an inability to be able to understand completely what the basis of her claim was.
But part of the problem factually for you is who she had problems with in the school system, and didn't he comment that two of the threats at least came from children?
Well, she testified that two of the threats, specifically the threat in 1997 and thereafter in 1999, were from students of the school,
right.
and these were high school students.
Right.
But she did testify that in the second threat, which was in mid-1998, that she was threatened not only by one of the female students, but also by the parent of that female student. And she testified that she believed that many of the parents in what she called the morning shift were, in fact, supporters of the guerrilla organization known as FARC. So what she believed is that these students weren't, it wasn't just the individuals making the threat, but the parents and other individuals who supported the position of those students and were opposed to the policies of the government.
And this was, but this was primarily grounded on her belief that there was this support for that position. I mean, that was her belief. I mean, she didn't have any evidence to present to the immigration judge other than the single threat by the parent.
Well, she had three separate instances
of
where she was
but
threatened.
But, I mean, we've already talked about two were children or two were students, high school students, and the one high school student, the parent,
well,
was involved. But you mentioned this big group and the shift, and I understand, I've read the briefs, what your position is, but that was her belief. She didn't have support for that in the record, other than her.
It was the evidentiary support. Why is this connected to FARC, basically? I mean, FARC is a terrible group. Everybody knows about FARC in general, but you need to make the connection.
The connection is that as a school teacher, and as a school teacher which supported the policies and the objectives of the government.
I understand you're saying, but it's the evidence. You know, where, aside from her word for it, is the mm-hmm. evidence in the record that this is the case we have?
Well, in addition to her testimony, which was considered credible, both the government and Ms. Game submitted 2001 State Department reports, which specifically stated in 2002, I believe the report was published in March of 2002, and this hearing was in mid-2002, that in 2001, school teachers were specifically targeted by this guerrilla group for killings, and public school teachers in secondary and high school, and Ms. Gomez taught at a high school. So this wasn't something that she experienced individually and just had unbased suspicion. This is something that was published, reported about, and certainly was discussed among other teachers at the school who also, as she testified, were in fear of their own life as a result of the disagreement between those teachers which supported the policies of the government and those teachers, parents, and students who did not support the policies
of the government. And I can understand that the country report does give you some background help. I mean, it does give you some support, but still the link showing that this group was connected with FARC, that's all you need, one little sliver to connect FARC with the country report, with the actions of the parents. And that's the problem I think you face here.
Well, the clearest connection I can make would be in regards to the third and most difficult threat for her, and shortly thereafter she left the United States. And that was in 1999, after she had participated, as she testified, in an election of the board of directors of the school and had publicly, by the raising of her hand, had supported the policies of the government to try to fuse or integrate privatization with public education, which was something she testified that the FARC organization was opposed to. Shortly after that election, she was approached by a student, a male in uniform, and told that she should disappear because they did not agree with her position as she demonstrated at that election. Shortly thereafter, she resigned from the board, midway through the term, in fact, she resigned from that board as a result of that direct threat, and about 6 months later, she, in fact, departed the United States. It was a year after the incident, but she departed the United States 6 months after she resigned. So that's the closest example that I can cite to this court of why she believes it wasn't just simply disgruntled individual students, but it was, in fact, individuals who believed that the policies that she was publicly voicing and supporting were policies that their organization, the guerrilla organization, did not approve of. And it was when she publicly demonstrated through a voice of vote, a public showing of her vote, that she was in favor of these government policies, that the most severe threat came to her, and that's when she decided to leave.
You're into your rebuttal time if you want to save some time.
No, thank you very much. I think I will save some time.
Thank you. Ms. Johnson.
May it please the court. My name is Joanne Johnson, and I represent the respondent, the United States Attorney General, in the case before the court today. For the reasons set forth in our brief, we request that this court affirm the decision of the immigration judge and the board and deny Ms. Gammes' petition for review.
And why isn't it enough when she can point to the country report, when she has the two incidents from the student, and then the third incident, which was a direct threat? Why isn't that enough to show that there was past persecution and the prospect of future persecution?
Your Honor, substantial evidence supports the immigration judge's determination that Ms. Gammes did not establish persecution, and even if there was persecution, that she did not establish that it was particularized to her. The incidents.
But how could it not be particularized to her when somebody says, "We're going to eliminate you," or "We're going to make sure you disappear"? I mean, that sometimes people, you know, say, "Well, members of such and such a party can't get jobs very easily," and you really don't know whether it's going to focus in. But she did receive a direct threat.
Even if that threat was directed at her, it doesn't link that threat to the FARC, as she claims.
Right, but that's a different problem. It's completely particularized to her. The question is whether the existence of the findings and things like the country reports, as Judge Williams was saying, about exactly what happened to her, coupled with her public speaking out, is enough to show that link, is enough to compel a showing of that link.
Well, substantial evidence supports the immigration judge's determination that she did not adequately develop those facts to support a link between this alleged persecution and any of the five statutorily protected grounds under the INA.
Now, how might she have done that? I mean, do you think if she had said, you know, "Please speak into the microphone while you're threatening me, are you a member of FARC," that only that will do? I mean, I can imagine FARC members not being quite that forthcoming.
Your Honor, we have the record of the facts as she presented them in her testimony, and it was.
I understand that, but I'm asking, are you setting up a standard that is impossible to meet for people who fall in the category described in the State Department's reports?
Well, the State Department's report that Ms. Gammes mentioned specifically stated that common guerrilla targets include local elected officials, and it did include teachers, but specifically said opposed to the guerrilla's military or political activity. From the evidence presented, it does not compel a conclusion that what Ms. Gammes did in her job as a teacher was anything more than her job as a teacher, and that it was somehow connected to some political opposing views.
Well, what about the views that she expressed? Are you saying that those were views that were not opposed by the guerrillas?
Well, as...
Are you saying those are views consistent with what the guerrillas said?
Well, as the immigration judge found, she did not adequately develop exactly what it was that these that was the origin of the threat for that last incident. She mentioned privatization without clear development, and the burden is on the alien to establish past persecution or a well-founded fear of future persecution on concise, specific, detailed facts, which she failed to do, and no reasonable fact finder would be compelled to find a conclusion contrary to the one the immigration judge found.
The issue in which she takes an opposite view of the FARC is privatization versus public education. Private schools versus public schools.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first part, Your Honor.
The issue that she takes that that stirs this whole controversy that she talks about is that the difference between private education and public education.
It appears from the testimony that Ms. Gammas provided to the immigration court that it related to privatization and the public school system. But again, it was unclear from her testimony, which was rambling and sometimes confused, as the immigration judge determined. And notably, the immigration judge also indicated that her initial handwritten application did not include a reference to the FARC, but her subsequent application that was submitted with her counsel did. The evidence presented demonstrates that she did not establish persecution or a link to any of the a nexus to any of the statutorily protected grounds.
And the persecuted group here are teachers?
Well, it appears that Ms. Gammas is trying to argue that the persecuted group is teachers, but as the immigration judge found, that wasn't adequately developed. And even though Ms. Gammas, the immigration judge determined that Ms. Gammas was credible, the immigration judge was very clear that she did not adequately develop the facts to support her suggestion that her fear is based upon her status as a government employee. Therefore, Your Honor, for the reasons set forth in our brief and in this oral argument, the government it contends that substantial evidence supports the immigration judge's denying Ms. Gammas' application for asylum and withholding of removal, and that the record evidence does not compel a contrary conclusion.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Could you explain to us what the ideological issue is here?
I believe the ideological issue is that Ms. Gammas is a teacher who supports the government policies with regards to the education system in Colombia. And principally the education, and one of the issues discussed in the court below, was the privatization or the fusion of private enterprise with government-sponsored school.
Are these parochial schools, or I still don't understand what the issue is.
What the issue with regards to Ms. Gammas that
yes.
She publicly expressed, and I believe that's what characterizes her as someone who is persecuted, is she supports the government's policies. Well, first of all, she supports the government-appointed principal. She supports the government policies that would allow for private enterprise to mix with government schools. Now, I don't pretend to know all the details of what that exactly entails.
Well, see, that's part of the problem here, because if we're going to set up where she's being persecuted, there seems to be there's some sort of ideological conflict, and I don't see it.
The conflict, I believe, is that any teacher...
From the record, I
don't. On the record. The conflict, I believe, as expressed by the testimony and through the other evidence on the record, is that any teacher who publicly demonstrate support for government policies will, in fact, be targeted. And this example of the privatization of the school is just one example of how this particular teacher has publicly demonstrated her support of government policies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. Move to the second.